Just for the next few moments, anoint your servant, I ask. Nothing that I would say in the flesh. Let nothing come out of me unless it flows through the power of your Holy Spirit first. I thank you for it. I pray blessing over your people now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you have your Bible, then you would open it up to Romans chapter 7. I'm going to get there in just a minute. And I'm not going to be long today. I want to remind, if you're a visitor here, we have some gift bags in the back as well for you before you leave. There's a beautiful orange bags out there. They're yours. You just take one of them. If you're a first-time guest, we just would like to bless you with that in a great way today. I want to start this today because I believe that we're at a time of the year. I happen to really love it. I have a sense of optimism and faith and hope at this time of the year. It's a new season. And I always just feel this change that is very imminent, that's coming all the time. And I believe that the Lord is doing some great things in your lives and in your family. And I want to start with this thought, small things, big difference. I said this in the first service years ago when we first started the church. We had somebody that was helping us at the time. And there's just something there that I always wondered about. And I remember asking my pastor, Pastor Ron Dahman, I said, Pastor Ron, I can't lay my finger on it, but it just seems to be some little things that really, they bother me. They get my attention. I'll never forget. He pulled his glasses off. He looked at me right square in the eye, and he said, Marty, he said, watch the little things. And he said, watch them in your life as well. And I never forgot that. And it's not always the big things that take us into places that we need to go, but it's the little things, a little at a time, making the right decisions on a regular basis. And I get the sense of the time of the year that we can make some of those decisions. We can make some of those. Maybe some of you want to get in better shape. Maybe you want to become more spiritually focused in your life. Maybe you want to spend more time with your family or get better with your money. Maybe it's stopping some habit that you've been engaged with way too long. And I just pray that God will give you the power in these next 3 weeks that I share this that will help you and launch you into this part of your destiny. And I want you to think about today that it's not just the big things. It's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. Remember that. Think about that. I want to say it again. It's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. You can think about that in your own life. You can think about the decisions and the process that maybe you've made that have gained you some great things. You can also think about that in a negative sense, that some of the things that you've engaged in, you started off small, and they've mushroomed into something way beyond that. And I want to talk to you today about the power of our disciplines, because we are what we repeatedly do. And no one likes to talk about that word discipline. I know that seems to be a dirty word in our culture, and especially in the church world, because if, you know, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. God loves me. I can act, and I've got grace. I can sin, and all I got to do is say, you know, well, God loves me, and it's okay. And he does love you. But he has more for you. And I never gained, and I never put my arm around that attitude that I can just act and live any way I want. And it's okay. Your convictions will determine your behavior. And if your convictions aren't where they will and where they need to be, your behavior won't be there either. And so discipline simply means choosing between what I want now and what I want most. Remember that. Discipline is choosing between what we want right now and what we want the most. So when I leave here today, you know, what I want is maybe a Big Mac, or some bacon cheeseburger someplace with extra bacon and mayo slathered on that sucker too. Nice bun, big bun. Ha, come on, somebody, you feel that coming over this house right now. But I choose what I want most over what I want right now. So it gives me the power and the discipline to make the decision that is better for me in the long run than what I want right now. And see, that's the trouble with the notion of sometimes when people say, well, all I want to do is be happy. I kind of think that that big bacon cheeseburger would make me happy right now. Are you with me where I'm going on this? I'm only using food right now because I'm a foodaholic. I could out-eat any of you three times over. I don't care who you are. I have no check valve in me. It just keeps on going and going and going. So I have to discipline myself in this area. But instead of looking for a fast relief, we may forfeit our destiny for what we want now unless we engage in some small things that will lead us to what we want most. And the absence of pain is relief, but it's not fulfillment. Did you hear that? The absence of pain is relief, but it's not fulfillment. I don't like going to the dentist either. I loathe going to. I'd rather slide down the edge of a razor blade into a vat of iodine than go to the dentist. I don't like it. I've never met a dentist I like. I walk in, how are you today, sir? And I just look right at him and say, I don't like you. I don't like anything about you. Well, I could tell you some other doctors that I've been to. I loathe them. But I don't I don't do what I want right now. I do what I want the most. And so I engage in those decisions that will launch me to that. And the opposite is true as well. Some people may be in an area that you're not succeeding in. It's because you're making decisions on a regular basis that are tearing you down and they're pulling you away from the destiny and the purposes that God has for you. But even more encouraging in all this is that the scripture in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, I'm going to read from the New International Version, the Apostle Paul, he talks about a struggle that he has in his own life. He said in verse 15, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. And this has always been a tongue twister to me. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Now, he's just saying there simply, I'm doing things that I don't want to do them. And when I do them, I hate that I've done them. But I have this tendency to always find myself ending up doing those very things. This is the Apostle Paul, the writer of the majority of the New Testament. And he says in verse 16, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Verse 17, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin that is living inside of me. And my brothers and my sisters, every one of you were born with that. As beautiful as any baby could ever be. And there's some beautiful ones here and beautiful ones coming. They are released into the world and they are born with sin. It's sin living inside of you. And Jesus came to deliver us. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with him, to give him your life, to trust him with your life, because he comes in and the penalty that you need to pay for your sins, he paid it. He paid a debt he did not owe, and you and I owed a debt we could not pay. And he took that. And this is what Paul's saying. I was born with this inside of me. It's sin living in me. And he says in verse 18, that he says, I know that good itself does not even dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Verse 19, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Anybody know, you're all quiet right now. You're going to leave me hanging up here all on my own, aren't you? He says, verse 20, now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it. Look at this, and this is important, but it is the sin living inside of me that makes me do it. And maybe Flip Wilson was right back in the 70s when he used to say, it's the devil that made me do it. But it's sin inside of you. And it's sin that's controlling you. And he says, I don't understand myself. I don't want to do. I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do it. And then I hate doing what I've done. Has anybody ever been there? Am I the only one who has ever been there? Thank God for you honest people today. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. And then after I do it, I feel terrible about it. And he says in verse 20, but if I do what I don't want to do, and this is interesting, he says, I'm not really the one doing it. And Paul says, and I say to Paul, okay, who is doing it? He says, it's sin inside of me that is leading me away from the healthy things that I need to decide and the disciplines that I need in my life. And it's moving me into this area that wants to destroy me and has a bent towards sin. You see, by nature, we are not self-disciplined people. By nature, our sin pulls us away from what God wants and pushes us to what no discipline in our life would engage in. And I'm not against them. I've read several myself, but this is not a subject where a self-help book will do anything for you. There's no self-help that can get you out of this sin that you have been born with. We need to have the power of Christ living inside of us to deliver this and to deliver us out of that. And then he goes on to say in verse 24, he says, what a wretched man I am. And everybody here that's ever engaged in it will say the same thing. He says, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Who can help me now? Who has the power to give me the ability to overcome this temptation? Where am I going to get this substance inside of my life that can launch me out of the sin that I want to do day in and day out and take me to where I need to go? Who can help me to have the right disciplines? And then when he ends it up in verse 25, he says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the power of Christ in our lives that can deliver us. The answer is not in our own strength. The answer is, I can do it in my own. And if I had a nickel for every time a man or a woman has told me this in the last 15 years, all I need, just give me some time. I can do this on my own. You cannot conquer sin and the lower, baser nature inside of you on your own. The only way that you'll rise above it is through the power of the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, who conquered death, hell, and the grave, and said he comes to live inside of you. He's going to live in you. Because it's not me and me. I don't have that power. In myself, I am weak. I can't do it in my own strength. Me and me is not stronger. The sin in me wants to do what is wrong. I have no discipline in me, but with Christ in me, he's stronger than the wrong appetites that want to control me. Listen to this. I could say amen right now, and that would be enough if you just grasp onto that. The Holy Spirit discipline inside of us is what empowers us to do what we are incapable of doing in our own strength. So why can't I get over this? Why can't I get above this? Ask Christ to live inside of you. Let the power of his Holy Spirit come inside you and empower you and baptize you. And then he will lead you out of the trouble and the disaster that the enemy would try to take you into. And the Holy Spirit will help us to choose what we want most over what we want now. You don't want what you want now. You need to learn and get an idea and a vision for what you want most. You're never going to be self-disciplined away from God because self is bent towards sin. But when the Spirit takes over in you, the Bible says it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. He'll quicken your mortal body. He'll raise you up. He'll give you power like you never had before. What takes a person who used drugs for several years of their life or was an alcoholic or was an addict of some type and changes their life and makes them a declare of the good news? It's nothing that they can do in their own self. It's the power of Jesus Christ living in and through them. Amen. And he's no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for another. Amen. He just doesn't have his favorites. You're all his favorite. Amen. And if you'll answer him and allow him, he'll change that discipline in your life. And how do we do it? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. I'm reading this out of the New Living. He said, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets a prize? That's kind of selfish, Lord. He said, so run to win. He's really given an analogy of how they used to do it in that day, how they would have the competitions, how they would discipline their bodies, how they would work hard. And Paul is using this metaphor, and he's telling us, don't you realize that everyone who runs in a race, they need to run to win. Run to win. Verse 25, all athletes are disciplined in their training. So they do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. That's so much better than running for something you can get on this earth. We as followers of Christ are doing everything that we do to get an eternal prize in glory. Everything we do to make Jesus greatly famous. And to proclaim and to declare who he is. We are spirit disciplined, and the spirit helps us overcome the power of sin. You and I need discipline in our lives. And we can't do it in our own strength. We need his power. Verse 26, he said, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. And that word shadow boxing means that I'm not fighting against an imaginary enemy. I'm really fighting against the forces of hell. Listen to me. I've had to stand up some things in my household over the years that people have said, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. You're way too far that way. Back up. But I'm going to tell you what. I fought a devil in my life that was bigger than anyone had ever known before. And I wasn't fighting against some just imaginary thing. I had to stand up. I had to fight first in my life and then for my family on a regular basis, because I knew what the devil wanted to do in my home. He wanted to destroy it like he'd wanted to destroy your home and my home that I used to live in. But not so fast, devil. When the spirit comes living inside of you, maybe you don't have the strength to do it right now, but if you'll feed that with the word of God and let God rise up in you strong, he'll make you strong in areas that you were weak once in, and he'll cause you to be an overcomer, and he'll use what the enemy meant for evil. He'll turn it around and he'll make it for something great for his glory. Come on, if you like that, you need to give him praise. He said in verse 27, I discipline my body like an athlete training it to do what it should do. He said, otherwise I fear that after preaching to others, I myself be disqualified. What's he saying here? I discipline my body. I can't do it in my own strength. Every one of us was born with this propensity, but with the power of Christ in our lives, we can do it. And I decide that I'm going to choose, and I'm going to get up every day, and I'm going to run with a purpose. I'm going to run with a plan. And I'm going to say no to this and no to that. And I'm going to say yes to Jesus. I'm going to say yes to what he has. I'm not going to allow financial temptation to ruin my financial future. I'm not going to allow things in my life to destroy my home and my family. I am going to focus on what I want the most instead of what I think I want right now. And the Spirit of God leads us. But even more than that, I want to bring God glory in everything that I do. Because Christ dwells in me, he'll give me the power to do that. So let me leave you today with just a couple questions. Number one, what do you want the most? So you got to figure that out. Some people are so focused on right now that they can't think of what they want the most. And when I was contemplating over this week, and I was thinking of things that I wanted the most, I just begin to pray and I begin to declare them out of my mouth. And then I thought, wow, I need to start writing some of these down because these are really good. I really like these. Some things that I want the most. I want that closer walk with God. I want to get healthier. I don't like it. I don't like sick. I like the hospital. I just don't like to be in it. I want to get stronger with finances. I want to do the things that God. For some of you, it's you need to stop using whatever it is. You're addicted to something that's pulling you down. You can overcome that in your own strength. Listen to me right now. Hear me. Whatever organization, I love them all. But at the end of the day, if you're going to be free from an addiction of any kind, it's going to be through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And that only. What do you want the most? Patty said it this morning. She says, some of you wanted to get married. You got married. Now you're not sure about it. You can make that. Listen, I've always thought this way. I can like Have you ever seen a really ugly dog? Huh. I tell you, I've seen the ugliest, nastiest dogs. We had them on the farm, a couple of them. They looked like they were a crossbreed. I don't know. Do you know what? I learned to love that dog. You know why? That dog come up, jump on me, lick me, hug me, wag his tail. You can learn to love your spouse is what I'm saying. Maybe that didn't. I don't mean that. I was just. Baby, help me. I was trying to make a point. You gotta. What do you want the most? Amen. Number two. What do you need to do now to have what you want the most? What one discipline in your life do you need right now that will help you lead you towards ultimately what you really want? This is something you need to figure out. You need to do that today. We're coming into a great new season. Don't wait until the first of the year to make some of these decisions. You can be running faster by the first of the year. You can be walking in your destiny by the first of the year. We're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving before long, my birthday before that, and then Thanksgiving. I'm just joking. I don't care if you get me anything. You can't never go wrong by getting me a Starbucks gift card. I just want to let you know that if somebody's out there wondering, what can I get him? The Lord just wanted me to say, Starbucks. I'm just having fun with you. I really am. I love you. But you don't have to give me a thing. I love you. I don't even know how I got there. Oh, I know. You got to determine what you need to do now to have what you want the most. Don't wait till the first of the year. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Well, I'm going to make a resolution. Make it today. Make a difference today. Make a choice today. Small things make a big difference. You could have, your whole life could be turned around by the beginning of the year. You could be doing something that you've always wanted to do. You could be accomplishing something. You could be involved in something bigger than you ever thought. So what are some of your spiritual disciplines? You have to consider these. You have to make up your mind. Why aren't you involved in some of the things that will grow you in the Lord? We got Bible studies galore here. We got one. You can't say, well, that doesn't fit in my time, because we got them all through the week. Come on. Are you that busy watching TV? Maybe it's your health. Maybe some of you need to go home today. You need to clean out the cupboard. Get rid of the junk. Just take the trash can, go over there, and start throwing the junk out. Get rid of it. Honey, there is a thing of ice cream on my shelf in the freezer where my kale, my berries are. Oh, that's Garrett's. I almost threw it out today. Get rid of it. Make the right choices. How about your finances? You don't need more money as much as you need to be a better steward over what God has given you now. You know what I found out? That when I steward what he has given me right now, I have more money. And God will bless you if you come in covenant with him. Stop spending what you don't have. How about is your marriage? When's the last time you did something special for him or her? Let me tell you this little story. I'm going to close in just a moment. Somebody gave Chris some money to go on the trip with, and they had a little request with it. They gave him the money so that he would buy something for his wife and bring it home to her from France. And the whole time he said, I've got this money. I'm going to get her perfume. Yeah, I'm going to get her French perfume, Pastor Marty. Woo, man, am I going to hit it. The whole time. I mean, I thought he was talking about his wife so much, I thought he was going to have to put a curtain up in the middle of the room because I was afraid. We went in that store. We got an interpreter with us. And she's interpreting what this French perfume sales lady was doing. Oh, man, she was buttering Chris up. Chris was like, he says, my wife, I think she'll like that. She's handing him all these little things to smell. Here's the point. He had more fun buying something for his wife that I guarantee she had by receiving it. And the enemy would like to tell some husbands and wives here today that, you know, he doesn't get me what I want, or she doesn't do this what I want. How about if you turn that and you just become a blesser to your spouse? You discipline yourself to get, you begin to make the little choices, make the little decisions now, and you will see a big difference by the first year. Come on, you ought to amen me better than you're doing on that one. Your children, your personal convictions, if you'll submit those to God, watch what he would do with your life. Come on, did you receive anything from this today? Do you love God with all your heart? Bow your head with me this morning. God, I sense his kindness and his goodness in here. I want those that pray, I want you to come down. I'm going to open up the altar. I'm going to close in just a moment here. I just, you know, as I was praying this morning, I sensed the Lord just, I saw some people so burdened for where they are. They're wanting to go farther. They're wanting to, they look back and they say, oh, I've wasted. I've missed so much. This has happened, that's happened. And God, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He can take in your life now what's been broken and wounded and destroyed over a long period of time. If you'll make that commitment to him today, his Holy Spirit will begin to help you. He'll begin to empower you to be and to do what you never intended, what you never thought you could be. And then for some of you, you've never given your heart to Christ. You've never given your life to him. You need to do that today. You can come down and you can go to any one of these folks up here this morning. You can just say to them, I need Jesus in my heart and in my life. Give him your life. He wants to do something so beautiful in you. Some of you, maybe you're out of control with your disciplines. You're just all over the place. You've never had good discipline in your life, and God, he wants to help you in that area. Hallelujah. I sense his power working here right now. Spirit of the living God, do something so beautiful in the hearts and in the lives of your people, God, that you would receive all the glory for it. I ask you for that one or those ones that are struggling right now today. They're just struggling over the lack of discipline. They're struggling over the lack of the choices that they made. And today, God, even though while I'm speaking, the enemy is pushing against their heart saying, you don't need that. You can do this on your own strength. But Lord, we know we can't do it without you. And we need you today. So God, I pray, and even as we close, that you're continually working in every heart and every life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for it. Ryan, honey, close for me. Close in prayer.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you've visited us. Thank you, Lord, that you're in the midst of us. Thank you that you don't leave us where we were. But God, faith by faith, glory to glory, God, you change us. Continue to do your work in this place. Father, draw all men unto you in this house. Let this be your time. Let this be your service. Use your house, Father, to further your kingdom. We're willing, Father. Our hearts are ready to receive from you this morning. Lord, I ask that you bless your people, those that have taken this time and committed it to you, committed it to your house this morning. God, that you bless them. They'd even see it this next week, Father, that you bless their lives, bless their homes, Father. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the pastors of this house. Thank you for the leaders. Thank you for the elders. We give you thanks for them, God. Bless this, your people, this morning. In Jesus' name, would you say amen, church? Church, we love you. We'll see you soon, Thursday night.